WBEZ is supported by Unison, presenting their Chicago Floor Sample Sale, March 9th through the 13th. This in-person event features showroom samples and collections of furniture, rugs, and decor, offered at a 50% off retail pricing. Unison designs and curates modern home furnishings, including textiles, decor, furniture, and dining pieces, created in collaboration with artists and designers. More at unisonhome.com/sample sale. Unison, where modern meets timeless.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Sarah Stark, in for Aaron Allen, and this is The Rundown. It's Friday, so I'm here with Nudia Hernandez, host of Nudia in the Afternoon on our sister station, Vocalo. Hey, Nudia.
Hello.
How are you doing? What's something you're enjoying this week?
I'm doing great. By the way, you know what? What's funny, when I was walking up here to do this interview, have you been getting a lot? Because House of the Dragon is back. The Starks are back in the show.
Oh, uh-huh.
House Stark. Are you?
I haven't been watching House of the Dragon. I did watch Game of Thrones when it was running, but I watched it because that's my last name. I was never anticipating on being a Game of Thrones fan, but one time when I was going through airport security, a TSA guy stopped me and I thought they were gonna like pat me down, and he was like, so do you watch the show? And I was like, what? Excuse me? And he was like, the show, like House Stark, do you watch the show? And I was like, I thought you were gonna like arrest me. So then I did have to start watching it so that I could understand what people were saying. But
you need to watch House of Dragon.
I do.
You need to.
Do I need to have seen all of Game of Thrones to really get it, or not really?
No, not really.
Okay. Cool. Then maybe I will.
You'll just be missing some stuff.
I'll just be missing some stuff, but like,
the Starks have shown up recently, and I was like, Stark, that must have been pretty popular.
It was. Well, and then there's also Tony Stark, Iron Man.
It's just a cool last name.
It's a pretty good last name, isn't it? Love talking to you about TV. I could just do this.
This is just a little TV corner.
Just a podcast about TV.
What are we supposed to talk about again?
I forgot why I'm here. So you recently talked to Jeremiah Paprocki, who is actually the voice of Wrigley Field.
This is Jeremiah Paprocki, the host of Late Nights in Chicago. You're listening to Vocalo Radio 91.1 FM. This is what Chicago sounds like.
And I loved in this interview hearing him slip sort of in and out of his announcer voice and then sounding like just a regular guy.
Just a normal, like a normal 24-year-old dude, right?
You would not expect that voice to be coming out of a 24-year-old's mouth. Did you have that moment when you talked to him?
I couldn't believe it, like, honestly. And he just looks so young, and you would never guess. Like,
no.
If you saw him walking down the street, like, you would never guess. So funny, because I know, being, you know, a broadcaster or being on air, there's a lot of points in college where I tried to change my voice.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I was like, let me be like cool and sultry or mysterious. And it just, you know, it's so funny. Like, I listen back to those air checks sometimes. I was like, what was I doing?
Yeah. You know, you're like, why was trying I doing to sound that? like Steve Inskeep on Morning Edition or something, and you're like, I'm Nudia, I'm not Steve Inskeep on NPR.
Yeah, I'm like, or you try to sound really smart. I'm like, okay, I'm just not that person. Yeah. But for him to, you know, he says he's been practicing this voice his whole life. It's so rare for a PA announcer to get that job so young.
Yeah.
And also be ready at that young of an age. Like, even I look at the job I have now on Vocalo, and at 21, I'm not even sure I would have been ready for an opportunity like that. You know, like, at 21, to not only be offered that opportunity, but to also be ready for it, that always interested me.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, we're going to hear more about that and about Jeremiah's new talk show he just started called Late Nights in Chicago. Here's Nudia's conversation with him.
So tell us a little bit more about the show. What exactly is it?
Yes. So it is a late night talk show. It is just what you think about. It's a, you know, variety shock talk show based like Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon. I'm the host. I'll go out there for a monologue piece, you know, give my hand in some comedy, try that out.
Are you funny?
You know, I try to be. We're working on it, though. And then, obviously, I think the most important part is the interview. So once we have our guests come on, you know, I have the classic desk and couch look for the show. So we'll bring our guests on and we'll just have a, you know, an interview talk, you know, get to know more about the guest. But also we really want this show to be as Chicago as possible too. So we're looking forward to highlighting the city as much as possible.
I love that. And so you said, I was reading the press release, you know, trying to learn a little bit more about your show.
Yeah.
So you said you went to a Jimmy Kimmel show, right?
Yeah,
so you kind of inspired.
This whole endeavor has been inspired from that moment. So, yes, I was a student at UIC from 2017 to 2021. On my spring break in 2019, I was in LA and I got tickets to attend a taping of Jimmy Kimmel Live. And I was blown away by that experience because as a live studio audience member, you get to see everything that goes on behind the scenes.
Oh, like people running around, right?
Yeah, all that stuff. So like you see the executive producer behind the booth. You see all the cameramen behind the cameras, the band, the warm-up comic. And then when Jimmy comes out, you're like, dang, that's Jimmy in person. And then when the celebrities come out, you're like, man, I've seen this person either on TV or in a movie. And like the whole experience was really cool. So I was like, man, I could do something like that. So I actually tried out a earlier version of the show in college at UIC called Late Night Flame. And that was a cool experience. You know, we teamed up with our creative and digital services team over at UIC to put it together. And then since then, obviously went on to get the Cubs job. And very successful in my sports endeavors, but I was
just the little Cubs job, right?
No, it's big. It's big. It's significant, you know. But I still had the itch to get back to late night.
You're like 24, right?
Yes, I am 24.
Okay, are people shocked to hear that?
Yes, I think especially what my like career is. I think even with the talk show too, it's like, oh, this 24-year-old is trying to put on a late night talk show on a big scale. But even like as a sports announcer too, I think people are like, wow, like that's not who I picture to be behind the microphone at all, you know? And so I think it's cool though.
Yeah. I was going to say, because I first saw like a TV. I mean, a lot of the Chicago TV stations have kind of done little exposés on you.
Uh-huh.
And then so they showed like The Voice. And then when they went to you, I was like, oh, my gosh, I never like you're so young,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
So being a PA announcer, was that a childhood dream? Is that something you...
Yeah.
Like you used to practice when you were little.
You know what's funny? Before I got into like the whole broadcasting aspirations, I actually wanted to be an airline pilot.
Oh, really?
It's okay. Completely left field. pun intended. But I flew a lot. You know, my mom is a big fan of traveling. And so at a young age, I was always on a plane. And so when I was thinking about things to do, I was like, oh, I'll be an airline pilot. My aspirations for broadcasting came because of the Chicago Bulls. So the very iconic intro sequence and then the "and now." And that stuck with me as a kid. And so I would find myself doing it constantly over and over again. And then I found that it was an actual job, that a real person is behind the microphone doing it. And I was like, oh, this would be pretty cool to try out and get into. And I was very fortunate enough in my high school that they had a thing called homeroom announcements, but it was at the time for senior class presidents. My sophomore year, the senior class president at the time, he was kind of a jokester, said a joke about the principal, lost his privileges.
Really?
So
you took the opening? So saw your opening?
I swooped in. I was like, all right, this is my time to shine. Next day, went down to the office. They let me do it. When I finished, they're like, you could keep this to graduation. So it really started in high school.
Now, would you, because obviously, you know, you transform your voice a little bit, yes, right? When you get in your PA mode. Did you find that then? You know, were you doing that as well in high school, or
I was playing around with it. So I think I was trying to listen to the voices of Chicago, mm-hmm, and try to mix it in with mine. So obviously, my Cubs and inflection and inspiration comes from the previous voice of Wrigley, our previous voices of Wrigley. So Andrew Billison, Paul Friedman, Wayne Mesmer. I've taken inspiration from Tommy Edwards as well too, who used to PA for the Bulls. So just kind of taking all those styles and seeing what fits where, like how I do a baseball game is completely different from how I would do a basketball game, and mm-hmm, knowing the sport and the style and knowing how I can deliver that.
Now, when did you realize you were good at it, you know, because it's one thing to practice, and so, but when did you realize, like, hey, I'm actually, like, extremely talented at this thing?
I would say, like, I knew I had a good voice, like, in elementary school, but knowing that I was actually good at doing it, like, live and actually behind the microphone was, like, a little after I started doing it in high school, the homeroom announcements.
Okay, because in my head, like, when I first, you know, saw, like, you match the voice to the face, I feel like I'm on Love is Blind. I can't match your voice to your face, you know? But when I first saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, could you imagine? I was just imagining your parents, like, just hearing your kid do this, like, crazy voice. Sounds like he's, you know, way older than he is. Yeah. How did your parents react?
Yeah, so it's just my mom. So my mom, I think early on, she found it a little bit annoying because I was at home, like, I was in front of, like,
the announcing everything.
Yeah, at home and stuff. And so, but... you know, once
so you're like General Hospital, like all her shows.
So that's like, so funny. So like when I started doing it, like at, like for real in high school, and then when I started doing UIC, like she was definitely very supportive of it, and I think when I actually got the Cubs job, I think she was like very happy, of course, but less surprised because she knew that like I've been doing it for such a while and prepping for that moment that it's finally happening. So I think she was just more so happy than like shocked.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And you got the Cubs job when you were still in college. You hadn't graduated college, right?
Yes.
You were 21 years old. So not only were you, just for people that maybe don't really know about jobs in the sports industry or in the broadcast industry, it is extremely difficult to get those jobs because people that get them stay at them forever. I mean, look how long Vince Scully was the voice of
many years.
The Dodgers. And so when people have those jobs, they stick around for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to get those jobs. And you got it at 21.
At 21, yes.
Not only were you 21, but you were the first Black PA announcer.
Yes.
How did that...
For the Chicago Cubs.
For the Chicago Cubs, how did that feel for you?
Great. I mean, I think those were added highlights to getting the job. I at 21, like you said, it's extremely difficult to get. So knowing that I put in the work early, starting in high school and then at college, and then getting a pro job while still in college is very much so unheard of. And so I was very overjoyed by that. But then also being the first African-American PA announcer for the Chicago Cubs was great because at the time the social climate wasn't that great for people of color. And so a positive story, especially a local positive story, definitely carried a lot. And I got a lot of warm welcomes from people and inspiration from people DMing me on social media saying, hey, you're such an inspiration. Now I look up to you. Like, it was super cool.
Amazing. I'd love to hear your story. And so you do PA announcing. You have a couple of jobs. Like, do you must not have a lot of free time, right? Like,
yes, yes. I like to keep myself busy, though, so that's actually intentional.
So you PA announce for the Cubs, and then if someone's like, I feel like I might have seen him at a Bulls game, you also are the stage manager, right?
Yes, I am one of a few stage managers that work with Bulls Entertainment on game day to help, you know, Bulls activation, set up the United Center. And then we also, I think this is the funnest part of the job is going around picking contestants.
For the contest
during the game. So that's definitely really cool. And I did stage managing at my time at UIC as well, too. So that carrying over now in a professional sense as well, too, is like another full circle moment.
Now, when you got the Cubs gig, were you a senior or were
yes,
you?
I was okay. a senior. Yes.
So, okay, if you had, because you didn't, like, you weren't dropping, you didn't drop out or anything, right? You
were like, No.
I don't need you guys anymore.
I wouldn't have done that, but I got the Cubs job before my last semester. So I had to go an extra semester in my 4 years. And so I got hired at the end of the first half of my senior year. And then the last semester of my senior year, I was still working Cubs games. And it was so weird because I had certain classes on Zoom where I set it up strategically where I took the class from the computer at Wrigley Field.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So you never pulled the Cubs excuse. You weren't like, hey, sorry, professor, but there's a Cubs game tonight.
I think beforehand I planned around it. So I made sure, I was like, I'm going to get this Cubs job. I got the Cubs job. Okay, hey, how can I make my August and September and October as Cubs friendly as possible?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I love that. See, so you still stayed in school. So kids,
yes.
you can finish your last semester even if you get a big job. So again, Jeremiah Paprocki in studio with us. We loved having you on. And you know what? Give us that drop one more time. Let's give it to the people one more
pleasure.
Time.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me. I'll do this one in the Cubs voice this time. So this is the voice of Wrigley Field, Jeremiah Paprocki. You're listening to Vocalo Radio 91.1 FM. This is what Chicago sounds like.
That was Nudia Hernandez talking to Jeremiah Paprocki. Nudia, that was so fun. Thank you.
No problem.
You can find the first episode of Jeremiah's talk show right now on YouTube. For more info, head to latenightsinchicago.com. And you can hear more interviews like this one at our sister station Vocalo at vocalo.org, or you can listen on your radio at 91.1 FM. And you can catch Nudia in the afternoon live every weekday from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. And that's it for today. Aaron Allen, Justin Bull, and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is part of the NPR network. And shout out to Adora Namigade, Lisa Labez, Lauren Frost, Emily Seiberg, and Katie O'Connell for their work on our morning and afternoon news episodes. We also get help from Cassie Walker-Burke, Sophie Hernandez, Simeonidis, and Dave Miska. And a final note, today is my last day at WBEZ, and it has been such a pleasure producing The Rundown for you. I love this show and our listeners and our guests and especially all of the colleagues I just listed off. And for now, I look forward to joining the ranks of devoted Rundown listeners. I'm Sarah Stark. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Monday.